Welcome to the Proactive Podcast, brought to you by Me Media.
G'day world, Chris Hogan coming to you from Me Media Studio here at Burley Heads for episode 127 of the Proactive Podcast. And I have with me today Amanda Panda Williams from Yellow Panda PR, founder and director. How are you, Amanda?
I'm great, thank you. Thanks for having me.
Thanks for coming on. So Amanda and I met several years ago at a networking event in Brisbane. Yeah, on a boat. It was a lovely boat. We won't drop too many names of whose boat it was. Mm. But since then, we've sort of been following each other's, you know, moves in the marketing space, and PR and content marketing are very alike, but also very different. So PR. Mm-hmm. Some people don't know what that means. Mm-hmm. Can you give us the layman's breakdown of what PR is?
Yes. So most people, when they think PR, they think of Samantha Jones from Sex and the City, or they think of, okay, I don't know, like famous people on nightclub openings, that sort of thing. But to me, and what PR is, and I come from a political background, it's the favourable public image. So it's how you want the public to basically think of you. It's a reputation management.
Right, sorry, I need to put my sunnies on, put the collar up. No. I did actually have a funny thing happen to me the other day. I got up on a mic at an event, and these are prescription sunnies, and so in order to see the panel, mm-hmm, I had to put the sunnies on, mm-hmm, wearing exactly what I'm wearing now almost, mm-hmm, and of course just the funny little sniggers and comments afterwards, Chris thinks he's a rock star.
You got this whole Johnny Depp vibe going on with those. I saw you in those glasses at the last masterclass we both attended too, and I'm like, he's got this whole Depp thing going on right now. It works though, right? It stands out. It makes people talk. It's memorable. You know, you're commanding attention.
There you go. Well, it's got a, yeah, little bit unintentional, but at the same time, I just love Outland Denim. So shout out to Outland Denim. Just one of my favorite brands, and it's just, it's easy,
comfy, you are right, which is authentic. You want to show up as your true authentic self. So why would you be in anything other than, you know, the brands that you champion and feel comfortable in?
Yeah, that's right. Not my term, but so I have noticed that people are calling me the purpose guy. And I guess that fits in with exactly what I am about and becoming well known for. So, you know, basically supporting a brand with purpose, and Outland Denim say it, you know, denim on purpose, or you know, all created on purpose.
Yeah.
You know, it suits me to a T. So, sorry, enough about me. Back to you.
Such marketers are so good at talking about themselves. Could be quite a duel here.
Sometimes I could not. It's the furthest thing from things I want to talk about is definitely myself. But so PR, great, favourable image. Now, how did you fall into this? You said you had a political background. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, you went and started your own gig. Mm. What was sort of the attraction? What got you thinking about PR in the very beginning?
In terms of like the manifestation, it started very young.
Yeah.
So when I was in primary school and we did our yearbook and we talked about what we wanted to be when we grew up, I wanted to be an anchor woman. By the time I did go to university, which was later on, I was 24 when I finally got to university. I had a career in real estate before that. By the time I got to university and studied my communications degree in journalism and public relations, I remember sitting in a class one day and the lecturer asking, you know, what kind of jobs everyone was hoping to achieve afterwards. And of course, I wanted to be a host on Getaway to combine my things of everything, you know, travel and entertaining, and every single girl's hand in that room went up at that point, and I went, crap, there is a lot of competition here. If I want to be doing this job, I'm going to have a lot of competition. And I remember talking about the journalism side of it because that did appeal to me more. I'm really inquisitive by nature. I really care about people and very curious. So I thought that would be a great career for me. But I guess the minute we started talking about death knocks and having to go to speak to people once they'd lost a loved one and that sort of thing, like I really freaked out about that and thought, God, I don't want to be like pushing someone for comment when that had happened, because I just didn't think I had the guts to do that. So then I learned about PR and basically that you would make a lot more money in PR too than journalism. Journalism's a bit of a thankless role when you really think about it. Those guys work so hard for what they're paid, and in this day and age you're expected to do probably 10 people's job at once. And I wasn't quite finished my degree when I was offered my first job in the public relations space. And that was Karen Andrews, who's our former, our current Home Affairs Minister of the federal government. And I met her at the surf club at Palm Beach, where I'd been a volunteer to the committee in terms of being a female captain, a training officer. So I was teaching all the families that were coming through the bronze medallion, the senior first aid, all that sort of thing. Publicity officer as well, which was a gig that I was doing just to get my experience up while I was doing my university studies. I was competing and I was also patrolling probably every second or third weekend as well. So I was very involved in the surf club. Like, I'm huge about, you know, volunteering and community service and that sort of thing. Fundraising was another thing that I was doing there, and I actually won Fundraiser of the Year. I think it would have been 2011, and Karen Andrews was in the room that night, and she's like, oh, you know, who is this young lady doing all of these great things and raising all this great money, because politicians do need that as well with their campaigns, I suppose. Mm-hmm. And she basically offered me an interview. She said she was looking for a media and communications officer for her office. So I went in the next week for the interview and landed that job, and that was my first job in federal politics. And I worked for three other politicians over the course of close to 7 years between the federal and state government. Looking after their public image, essentially. So handling all of their media commitments and engagements, so writing all the press releases, that sort of thing, but also looking after their online footprint with their websites and social media and that sort of thing. So
I love that so much. I love that so much. The reason why I love that so much is that there's a quote, do more than what you get paid for and eventually get paid more for what you do. And that was really you just going out there and doing what you love, the fundraising thing. Mm. And because it does make you feel so good, right? Like, when you do something that you absolutely love with and without pay, yes, you're going to get recognition for it, but that's part of the reason you're doing it.
Yeah.
You know, you get that dopamine, oxytocin, you know, serotonin boost. Mm-hmm. It makes you happy.
Yes.
It's the happiness trifecta, right?
Absolutely.
So yeah, right on. And then you get offered a gig. That's sick. I love it. So where do you think you got these charitable values, you know, from? Could you say it was from a family member, a celebrity, or, you know, a superhero?
Yeah, I guess you could say it came from a family member, but in a very unconventional way, and probably not a very positive way. So I had to grow up very quickly. I don't know if you're familiar with the term parentification. It's basically where you parent your parents and you take on the role of parent in your family. Mm-hmm. So I grew up in a household that had a lot of, well, my mum was a prescription drug addict. She passed away a couple of years ago from that. But I grew up in a household with, I guess, yeah, I was the oldest of three children, and that my mum wasn't well. So my job was to help my dad, you know, raise my brother and sister and look after them. And I always felt good operating from a space of looking after people and helping people. And I had a lot of responsibility on me as a child in that home. I didn't have a normal childhood. And the thing I enjoyed doing most was actually going to work. I lied about my age at 13, 9 months to get my first job. And I love the break of getting away from the home and those domestic duties that I had at home to go and work with other people and have other people to talk to. So I guess, like, I kind of, the therapy for me in life growing up, my happy place to go to was work. And I built like an insatiable work ethic from that. And that's where I really came alive. That's where I felt really valued and loved, was from serving others and helping others. And it's just continued throughout. And I'm becoming more aware of these things as we, you know, work on the inner child and all the self-help and stuff along the way. So yeah, it comes from that parentification initially. Yeah.
That's, I mean, and that's great that you've recognized that. And that those values that you built, those behaviors you built from such a young age, while it was really tough then, I bet you it was so tough for you, that you don't have to run away from those. You know, that in your case, they've actually helped build who you are. And then, were there any value sets that I guess, well, of course there was. There was, would have been some value sets in those people that you loved, albeit admired at some point in your life, that really, like, you just went polar opposite to?
Again, it's kind of a bit skew with how it happened, because I was really badly bullied all through school as well, to the point where I'd contemplated taking my own life in my teenage years because I had no one, I had no friends, and I had that situation going on at home, and it just felt like, you know, like there wasn't much love or much of anything positive to really look forward to. So again, I guess like what I've done is I've realized how awful it feels to be alone and isolated and how horrible it is to be like just to not be kind to someone. So I guess then, you know, all of the charitable work that I do and the volunteering and, you know, how I show up in the world is to be the complete opposite to that, because I know how horrible that feels and I don't want anyone to go through what I've been through. So it comes from like, you know, when people have like what they don't want lists, a lot of my life has been built around like what I've seen that I don't want it to be like, as opposed to when people go, oh, I saw this mentor and this person shaped me and that person shaped me. For me, it's like all of the negative crap and horrible things that exist in the world and not wanting that to be who I am or where I'm going or what anyone else has to deal with. So it's kind of a bit,
Yeah, I agree. I've written about this exact scenario in my book and also been inspired by other authors, and it's very... I think it's very interesting for me. Well, it was very interesting for me when I was actually going through a difficult time, not knowing my purpose and having to rediscover myself, and then understanding how that actually applied to marketing, because I can't stop my brain. I just have to solve the problem, which is also what you're about too. So solving problems, which is, you know, I think, so you would be, have you done the Wealth Dynamics profile before?
Yeah, I have.
Do you remember who you are?
I'd
have a guess at who you are.
I'm trying to remember this. It was Star and something else. It was on the
Supporter?
Cusp. Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
I'm also a supporter. So we're actually in the perfect career and position to be a supporter profile.
Yeah.
Which is just
fantastic. I love all of those tests.
Actually, one that will just totally rock your mind is Jordan Peterson actually has come out with a new one, relatively new. Not he's probably promoting it more. It's not his, but he is promoting it more. It's called The Big Five.
Oh, wow.
And he has an online course that you can do to understand those Big Five personality types and I've recently done it. It's just awesome. And I keep going back through it. I just love it so much.
I do all of that work with my clients as well, actually, like the brand personality quizzes and also the Clifton Strength Finder, the top five Clifton strengths. So it'll be interesting to see how that one, if that may be an amalgamation of those several tests into one, which would be cool. Because at the moment I'm getting all these separate tests done and then kind of trying to tie them all together. But it's amazing because I find that if you do that a few years later, sometimes they change, like incrementally, but you can change. Like my brand persona from when I started the agency to now has changed from the creator to the jester. And that's because I have realized that one of my core values of what I do is that I want to do things with joy and to enjoy the business and the experience, and that being the key driver, not necessarily the commercial side of it, the money side of it. It's like, do we enjoy showing up every day and making a difference? So I swapped into a jester persona from a creator persona, which is crazy. And that's what happens even with the key strengths, like different areas that you develop will change over time too with that. So it's good to check in on those things and do them every couple of years.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely. Disc profiling was one that I used for years.
Yeah, one of the OG tests.
Yeah, it is. It is an OG. I was very much a steady, cautious kind of, I had a high eye.
I was a high eye as well. Yeah.
But the D was lower, a lot lower.
Yeah.
And as time goes on, you know, being a director of a company, that D just naturally had to rise. And then very interestingly, you know, like other Ds would actually try to come into work with me and that did not work out. So it was that was very interesting. So I didn't go onto that into my book, but I did definitely go into the value stuff. That's where I found probably the best sort of way, or the easiest way for us to actually know, almost in a split second conversation, you know, 2 minute conversation, whether or not you and I are going to work
if there's going to be alignment, right? Yeah. I have it. I pretty much have those questions now, even in that initial discovery call questionnaire. Like, one of the questions I always ask too is, if you were set for life and you never had to work another day, how would you spend your time, to see if there's a heart-centered approach there? Because some people, if you didn't have to make money and they can go do what they're really passionate about, what is that passion, and is it going to advance the human race? Is it something that's going to give back?
Mm-hmm.
You know,
so that's almost what I'm talking about too. So yeah, it's that, you know, you've got to have, well, I ask, you know, do you have, would there be a group of people who would rally behind you and your cause?
Mm. Do you have social value, more
basically,
or less?
Yeah. Do you have a tribe?
Yeah.
And who is that tribe? Mm. And how, if that tribe is like, what are their values centered on? If they actually can't, you know, if that's not going to be a long-term value set for them,
yeah,
for example, it's going to be, oh, you know, I just want to look really good, you know, kind of thing, versus, oh, yeah, you know what, you know, and they'll buy any product whatsoever, and then all of a sudden they go, oh, then they have a realization, yeah, that's actually not good for the planet, you know, it's slave labor, all this sort of stuff, then they go, oh, brand switch,
yeah,
you know, so, sorry, we're talking about.
No, it's so important. It's, you know, that's how you align people with your brand in this day and age. And from a PR and even from a content marketing perspective, you need to be communicating your values and then obviously the causes that you care about out there to make sure you are attracting the right, you know, clientele or building the right tribe.
Yeah. It basically, it's your undertone for your, it's your tone of voice.
Mm.
So your values and your purpose are, you know, when you're creating that content, creating that like you are, you know, for people, then essentially, you know, it's just an easy way to check in. Like, does this actually, you know, fulfill on that value set?
Mm.
Therefore, am I being authentic?
Mm.
You know?
Yeah.
And that's really a great indicator for people to be actually able to go, oh, look, this content that I'm creating, it's just fluff.
Yeah.
It's just crap. Like, who's getting value out of that?
Stuff for the sake of stuff.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
My Achilles heel, hate it.
Like, the value set said that I was going to be, you know, helpful, supportive.
Yeah.
Yet I go and put this content out that's not helpful and supportive, you know, for example. So, so in terms of the content that you're creating for people.
Yeah.
You mentioned there's a lot of questions and there's a lot of, you know, there's a strategic approach.
Yeah, the feedback from the clients is they feel peppered with these quizzes and these questions and this like self-actualization and realization and all of this stuff that has to come out of them. But I like trust the process, guys. Like it's going to feel very like intrusive to start with. But the more I can know about them and how they think and how they feel and help them develop. Look, a lot of people don't know their why. They don't know their purpose. They don't even know how to articulate their elevator pitch to get the best bang for buck either. So they know it. It's definitely within them. These guys are incredible. I'm dealing with clients that are, you know, running multi-million dollar businesses. They're young, most of them under 40. Like, they've done incredible things, but they're so in the doing of everything that they don't really take the time to pull back and reflect on, like, who am I? What do I care about? What's the long-term goal here? Like, how do I want to be remembered? You know, what's my legacy going to be? And I think that's my best value add, is that I come in and I'm like, guys, let's sit down. You know, the first session is normally about 3 hours, but like, let's sit down and let's draw this out of you. And then let's come up with a plan of how we get to take that information and put it out there in content, and get you in the media. Built off those, you know, those pillars. And essentially we sort of come up with four key areas that we want to really push them, topic areas that we want to push them as sort of the thought leaders of in that area, and just keep it really consistent. So like you're saying before, yeah, this is so, like, you can write content and put out the fluffiest stuff that just doesn't matter and it doesn't create any sort of impact or engagement with people. But when you really carefully execute from a strategic standpoint, where you know what your talking points are, you know what your key messages are, and they're tying into like a bigger end goal, like a long game approach, great results to the point where clients have not left, which is a good indication that it's working for them.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, that's great. And it's the age old, you know, problem that we just don't work, like, we're too busy working in instead of working on, and can't see the forest for the trees. All of these types of sayings, you know, where you know, when we're asked or when to think about these things, it's like you actually sit back and go, I don't know.
Yeah.
I actually don't know. I've never thought about it.
Yeah.
And that's the response that we get also.
So crazy. It's actually a much bigger problem than just a marketing problem too. Like essentially you're disconnecting with yourself.
Oh.
And then that's like a whole issue in itself. Until you actually reconnect with yourself, life is going to be so much harder.
You're being inauthentic, and therefore you're also potentially having friendships and relationships that you know, watch out when you do this stuff. Mm. Those things can start to, you know, falter or waver, you know. Yeah. They could change.
Yeah.
Because once you actually understand yourself and who you are and your value set and your purpose, then it's all like, hang on a minute. I don't really hang out with those people anymore.
It's crazy. It all changes. Yeah. People drop off, new people come flying in like they've been attached to you by some magnetic force. It's a crazy experience to go through. But and from someone like me, it's a very humbling experience. And always, like, sometimes I pinch myself because I'm the kid that had no friends in school, that was bullied, had no girlfriends, no supports. You know, no one wanted to know me or have a piece of me or anything, right? I didn't even get to go to my year 12 formal because I had no date to go with, nor could I afford to buy a dress or anything because I was living out of home and roughing it at the time. But then to end up at this as just this person who's gone away and worked really hard on her career, which is all I did. I just put all of my effort into my work. And then at the end of it, just turn around and see like all of these people following me and reaching out to me on the daily now, saying how much I inspire them and motivate them to show up in life the way that I do. And I sit there and go like, you know, and people say like, she's popular. I'm like, I'm popular? Like, I was never popular. I used to look at all the popular kids in school and just think, oh gosh, I wish I could be like that. And it's still to this day, I have a real problem with sort of accepting that. And I don't like to see it as popularity, but more so as, you know, they say, stay in your lane, do your own thing and the right people will show up. For me, it just happened much later in life than, you know, than I had hoped it would, but probably at a better time. Because, that's, you know, right, with age and time and wisdom, you learn to appreciate things more when they do arrive. And what better time for this to happen than when I'm at the helm of my own business?
Mm.
So everything happens when it's meant to happen. And they say you can have everything you want in life, but just not all at once. So in my case, that's very true. Yeah. I'm trying to have everything in life, but not all at once.
I like Warren Buffett's, you know, how he structures goal setting, and said, you know, write down the top 20 or maybe it's the top 25 or something goals, and then circle the top five and then just forget about the rest.
Mm.
I don't mind that one.
Yeah, it's a bit similar to Matthew McConaughey when he was like, there's a lot of people out there, and he himself said he was doing, they're trying to do, you know, 5A things and like 5B things. And he's like, you know, his production company, when he shut that down, he realized that was one of the B things. He's like, you can't do the 5A things well if you're trying to do the B things too. And it's so true. But it's also like a discovery thing, right? Because in the minute, at the beginning, especially an entrepreneurial journey, you're doing everything for everyone, just sort of throwing mud at walls to see what sticks.
Mm.
And then over time, you start to realize from the feedback and the impact you're having where your genius zone is and where you need to just niche down and just sort of like bunker down and, you know, just go all in. And for me, that has been this, you know, this personal branding strategy for, you know, the emerging entrepreneurs of tomorrow.
Yeah.
The ones, so that we've got like a new wave of business leaders out there who come from that same purpose-driven, you know, perspective that you're so passionate about, that other people can look up to. Because right now, if you ask someone, who do you admire in the business world? Most people just rattle off the names of business people they've seen on TV, whether it be Shark Tank, The Apprentice, you know, that's it. It's like, oh, Mike Boris, and he's great. But like, it's like, well, who else have we got out there? There's some other amazing operators out there. And
yeah,
I just
want
to help get them up to that same sort of platform.
Yeah. And it takes years for us to recognize those people sometimes and then go, oh, hang on a minute. You know, these guys are rock stars in their own right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's really rad. So in terms of, I guess, your life purpose and your brand purpose, how different are they? Or would you say that they're like just pretty much
more? Everything's the same. And I talk about this a lot, about how I send the same version of myself to work, to home, to friends. Everywhere I go, I'm the same person and my life goal is the same. No matter what type of work I would do, I would want to be impacting other people in a positive way. And I think given that I've overcome some pretty serious obstacles in life to get to where I am now, I can actually demonstrate to younger people that if you work hard and you stay true to yourself, you know, despite adversity, you can be someone and you can have an impact and you can basically do anything you want to do. So yeah, I think that would be the same whether I was doing PR or any other kind of business, I would still want to have that same impact. Yeah.
That's awesome. I like to break this down and go a little bit deeper. Mm-hmm. So, you know, I mean, at home, mm-hmm. you're a supporter profile.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I can almost guarantee that at home, you're also being a supportive type of person as well. So, who or what are you supporting at home? Like, how does that life purpose when you're at home and you're not actually doing client work?
Yeah.
What is that?
I used to be.
I know you're a fit. I know you love being like getting fit. So, would it be, hey, I want to be this fit.
Yeah.
You know, energetic.
Yeah.
Healthy party. You know, animal loving. You know. Type of person, and you could almost say like in a day, say it was a week, say it's Saturday or Sunday, hopefully you're not working and you're actually having some time out. How many different purposes could you actually come up with in a weekend or a Saturday?
Oh, well, look, we can go back to this weekend that's just passed. So on Saturday, I did have to actually do some work to play catch up. But sure. On Saturday night, I took a client with me to the Gold Coast Charity Ball, which was awesome. There were 700 people there and it was in its 20th year. So you can imagine there was fireworks at the beginning of the night, not the end. And they had dodgem cars and I got to race the mayor on the dodgem cars and crash into him. And that was quite fun. Watch him go on a slippery slide. It was so hilarious. It was really fun. So I had that on Saturday night. And then on Sunday, I had a commitment to meet a girlfriend at the gym to go and do a workout at 10 a.m. So got in at midnight, went to bed, woke up, was at the gym at 10 a.m. after walking the dog, of course, and spending some time with the husband. And so I went to the gym with my girlfriend and ended up going to Robina for a bit of a shop and, went home, had lunch with the husband and then sat on my computer until 9 o'clock last night doing work. So I do tend to try and fit in. I always try to fit in the fitness sort of quadrant in my life. It's really important for me from a health perspective. I've got like really bad guts when it comes to like, you know, irritable bowel syndrome and all this sort of stuff. I won't go too far into it. But because of the high intensity of my life and the stress and the constant running around and stuff, like my poor guts is that's where it goes. I hold it in there. So yeah. I have to make sure like I exercise and eat pretty clean and, you know, take care of myself to make sure that I'm healthy first and foremost. So it's a mental thing as well as a physical thing.
Oh, that's huge.
With the training. And I like to challenge myself with the training too. So I don't do normal stuff, you know.
I know. I've seen your workouts.
Go pretty crazy or decide to go scale a mountain and do an overnight mountain hike. I got my jet ski. Love my jet ski. I'm out on that quite a bit as well. That was something that I purchased during COVID. You know, I'm like, well, I would normally spend some money doing some international travel. So instead of that, I'll buy the jet ski and then I've got that to go and
Is that a freedom or an adventure kind of?
It's a bit of both. It ticks all the boxes for me because I'm a bit of a daredevil.
Adrenaline give me a bit of that.
Yeah. But it's like you get out in the water and you have both hands on that thing. You can't be on a phone. It's my way. It's almost like a meditation for me. It is. No one can reach me, even though people do still reach me out there when I stop and open my phone. I'm like, crap, there's like 10 notifications there. But for the time that I'm riding that jet ski, like I'm just free and it's just the wind in my face and I have to concentrate on obviously not running into anything and that sort of thing. So that was like therapy. So that was a great investment to go and do that for myself.
There you go. There's another purpose.
Yeah.
Escape the notifications.
Yeah. Because I'm very much like an explorer at heart. Like I love doing the adventure, explore things, going new places, love getting out into nature. So a lot of people wouldn't know that, you know, I scaled Mount Barney a couple of years ago and it's one of the craziest mountains in southeast Queensland. And I had a 15 kilo backpack on with like my tent and my sleeping bag and the whole lot and my food and my water and climbed this thing. Like there's like exposed rock face that you have to climb. It's not for the faint-hearted, and you know, to do that sort of thing and camp overnight and come back down the next day, you know, people look at the exterior and think, oh, that's a blonde PR girl, you know, Gold Coast socialite, whatever, but don't realize that I can also, you know, go out there and really challenge myself and sort of be prepared to sort of, I don't know, I just want to experience everything there is in life. I don't tend to pigeonhole myself into like just one sort of box of like this is my identity and these are the things that I do. Like I'm always willing to try new experiences and challenge myself by doing crazy things.
Because there's a reward with that, right?
Yeah.
there's a lot of emotional reward.
Yeah.
You know, you've overcome something, you've conquered a mountain,
mm-hmm.
you know. It's very rewarding,
mm.
you know, from not just the exercise, but the endorphins, mm. you know, absolutely.
I have this like almost inbuilt anxiety sometimes, thinking that a lifetime is never long enough to do all the things you want to do. Like I literally feel that in my bones, like, oh, like I'm not going to be able to do everything that I want to do. No one could. It's impossible in one lifetime. And sometimes I find that a little bit disheartening, and you can almost stew on it a bit and be like, oh, this sucks. But then the flip side of that is like, I literally wake up and people say to me all the time, where do you get all your boundless energy from? Like, why are you so energetic? And it's like, I literally will wake up every day and be like, yes, another turn, like another chance, another, you know, here's another opportunity. And I don't know what the day is going to bring.
Yeah.
But bring it.
Yeah.
And it's that optimism and not wanting to waste time because, you know, it's so limited. Yeah.
Do you think you're also... Do you ever just sit in silence and meditate?
No, that would be the equivalent of sending me to my room if I was grounded or like putting me in the corner, like making me stay alone with my thoughts. It's a challenge for me.
Hmm.
Don't know if I like it.
Apparently it's really good for you.
Yeah. I mean, in terms of the creative aspect, because you know how they say you have your most creative ideas, like when you're in the shower or you're like driving a car. So for me, it's listening to a podcast or reading a book. Mm. I can't just sit down and listen to a podcast or read a book without having a pen and paper or be able to take notes on my phone. Because that stuff just explodes my mind. I'm like, oh, that's a good idea. I could do this with this client and that with that client. And my brain just blows up. But where I do struggle is that, you know, the personal reflection time, the journaling, that sort of thing. I have no problem with gratitude. I don't need to keep a gratitude journal. I feel that every day. Mm-hmm. As soon as I put my hands on my steering wheel of my car every morning, I think how lucky I am to drive this car to work and to go to work. And, you know, like the sky's blue and it's beautiful. You know, like I'm always like super appreciative of everything around me, like just the real simple things. But when it comes to like the reflection and the journaling, I definitely know I could improve in that area. That's something that I need to... That and yoga. I need to probably start doing yoga.
Yoga would be really good for you.
Yes.
What if you'd be able to get through a whole yoga class?
Oh, look, I've done a couple.
Without having to write something down.
I've done a couple. I did a charity yoga event last weekend. Here I am. Like every weekend there's some charity event. But I did a charity yoga event last weekend at Pacific Fair for the Serving Our People charity. And it's just such a challenge for me. I'm so not flexible. And it's so uncomfortable, but that, you know, that's where you need to go, right?
Right.
Do the uncomfortable stuff. And I, you know, I'm preaching that to my clients all the time when they're like, I feel really uncomfortable doing this. I'm like, come on, you're going to do it. The breakthrough's on the other side. Yeah. You can do it. So
why do we do this? It's because it's hard, right? Otherwise, everybody would do it.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. That's rad. Yeah, I think yoga would be sick. I've got to do more yoga too.
Mm.
Yeah. I'm currently just doing cold water immersion therapy. I just love that.
Yeah, cool.
But it's actually funny, like when you do something for so long,
mm-hmm.
then the glossiness of it or the difficulty, you know, of doing that task actually wears off, and it's all like, okay, I need something else now.
That's why I literally just did a year and a half with F45, and I just got too conditioned to it, and I sort of thought, I need something, I need to mix this up, I need to go do something different, and so I've gone back to weight training, and I probably will take up the yoga. I'm thinking that'll be the next thing for me. But yeah, I totally get where you're coming from with that.
Mm. Excellent. So PR for people,
mm-hmm.
Where did they start? If they are going to start building their brand,
mm-hmm.
where do they start?
Well, I developed a very clever acronym for our workflow of how we help people build a personal brand.
Mm-hmm.
The acronym is PANDA. It starts
Of course, that makes perfect sense.
So the P stands for plan. So every personal brand has to have a strategy. So you need to have, and it's, you know, it's the pillars, it's the foundations. You can't get the bridge without the pillars. So we start with that. The A in PANDA stands for audit. So we like to do a big digital audit of looking at the online footprint. So how are you currently showing up when you are Googled, and how do you look across all of your social media platforms, that sort of thing. So we actually developed an audit template, which is quite exhaustive, as you can imagine. We spend several hours going through that and making recommendations on how to improve each of those key sort of areas across the whole entire online footprint. N stands for narration. So it's the storytelling, the key messages, you know, what do we want to say? D stands for distribute. So how are we going to basically put that out through traditional PR methods and then obviously other self-publishing methods, whether they be, you know, social media, blogging, that sort of thing, because, you know, you can go to the media in this day and age, but you also are the media in this day and age. And then the final A is to analyze. So we're constantly looking at sort of what's working and what isn't. The clients will generally start getting a good sense of what content is really resonating with people when they start getting hit back, you know, when they get those comments and those inboxes and DMs from people saying, wow, like I really relate to this, or thank you so much for that, you know, that sort of thing. So the work we do is so real time, and you've got to be really agile. You've got to be able to like kind of bend and shape and change that strategy as it goes, depending on where that client is starting to be seen as more of a thought leader than in other areas. So, I mean, just get started, you know, tidy everything up, clean everything up, know your message, put it out there and start analyzing the feedback.
Very good. Yeah. Well, thank you so much for your time, Amanda Panda Williams. There you go. Panda is the PR acronym at Yellow Panda PR. So, and it's really easy for people to remember. I love acronyms. We've got one ourselves. The proactive marketing methodology is coming out soon to all of you in my book called Building Brands on Purpose. ETA is July 2021. It will be available on Amazon. So I hope people will be able to get a copy there. And God forbid you'll have to listen to me talk for hours on end on an audio version of that too. So apologies in advance. Thanks again, Amanda. How do people follow you and keep up with what you're doing?
My two channels of choice are Instagram, Amanda Panda Williams, and LinkedIn, Amanda Panda Williams as well. So I made it nice and easy to stand out against all the other Amanda Williams in the world. Just look for Panda.
Very good. Thanks again for watching, guys. The Proactive Podcast is available on Apple, Spotify, and you can check out all the episodes on Me Media's YouTube page. Just search for Me Media, AU. You know, there's a couple others around the world that we, you know, want to get rid of, but, you know, we can all be friends too.
Yeah.
Thanks, guys. See you next time.